It's time to switch gears a little bit. It's been a heavy, stressful week, so we're going to ease you into the weekend here now in the company of Michael Leddy, writer and blogger. Good morning to you, Michael Leddy,
writer and blogger.
And Fionnuala Rabbit.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. Are you as well?
Very good now, Bar. I'm freezing.
Yes, not in here, though.
No, I'm not in here. Part of me thinks I haven't been warm since 2014, since I moved up here. But this week is definitely testing me.
Michael, as a walker, you probably haven't left the house this week, have you?
Yeah, there's been days where I just didn't. If I didn't have to leave for a genuine reason, if I had everything and I stayed in. So, there was a couple of days I just stayed in. It's footpaths. The footpaths up with me were up in Glencar direction. Would be there.
I saw a person out doing footpaths in Donegal Town around the schools. Handy enough. I don't know why they don't do it around the big towns particularly. It's not, you know, it's a tractor with sort of like a fertilizer spreader. They target it onto the footpath, bomb up and down. It doesn't take any time at all.
Yeah.
Gets the job done. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I don't know. Getting in and out of my estate now this morning was just treacherous.
Oh.
Yeah. Because it's just frozen. Like.
I know. Saw the line of traffic trying to get out of your estate after visiting you over the last few days.
Well, yesterday
it's like driving on glass.
TV.
In my estate, for the first time ever, I seen a car virtually almost do a full 360. Somebody at low speed was coming into the estate, and it just kept going, and there was no way to control.
I've been in a car when that's happened at low speed, thankfully.
But
it's the lack of control is shocking.
Yeah, it's surreal to watch.
Yeah,
I was quite close. Like, I wasn't that close, but I was like, "That's mad."
I watched a lot of those videos on TikTok. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I really do.
Don't bother
with Twitter anymore. It's just TikTok now.
Do you ever watch the Russian dash cam footage? Do you ever watch those?
No.
Watch them. They're crazy. Like,
I don't want to see anyone crashing.
Well,
I don't want to see anyone crashing or motorbikes going into the back of cars or anything.
No, it's not usually that.
Cars sliding around and a bit of bumper to bumper action. I'm
that's what you're for, right?
But I don't want to see any
serious.
I'm too soft. I finished Welcome to the Chippendales last night on Disney Plus. So interested to get your assessment of it, Fionnuala.
Your list? Yeah, no, it is on my list, but I haven't actually gotten as far as the end of it yet. I've watched the first three or so of it. I really like it because I think it's one of those stories that, I mean, if you liked Pam and Tommy, you're going to like this because it's very much in that kind of vein, kind of done in a gritty sort of a way. There's a gritty sort of a feel to it that you kind of feel a little bit icky, I thought, when you're kind of watching some of it. Like, the same with the Pam and Tommy, you just kind of felt a bit voyeuristic or something watching it. So it has that gritty sort of a feel to it, which I suppose is supposed to be harking back to the time in which it was set up. It's a story that I knew nothing about.
That's it. And that's the difficulty with us discussing it, because I was lucky that I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
But it's hard to discuss it without kind of... Is it to
well, I think
away?
So. I think it's hard to talk about it without spoiling it too much for people, because I think the majority of people wouldn't know the story behind it. I mean, like, if you asked me anything about the Chippendales, I would have assumed that it was either like a Hugh Hefner-esque person that was behind it, or that it was like one of those guys in England that, you know, in the 80s and 90s set up boy bands.
Yeah.
You know, the way
Peter Stringfellow or something.
That type of a person that kind of went, oh, here's something.
But it wasn't. It was an Indian immigrant.
It was an Indian immigrant who'd just been in the country, that worked in petrol stations, and he worked in a petrol station and just saved up all his money, and he decided that he wanted to start a club, and he felt that this was the way to go. But being somebody who was very smart but didn't really understand the culture, he started doing some research, and he realised that at this time in America, millions and millions of people were playing backgammon. And he felt that the way to go was to set up a backgammon nightclub where people would come and play backgammon hours of the day and night.
For some reason, it didn't
shockingly
work.
It did not work for him. And then it just moves in different directions as to where it eventually evolves into the Chippendales.
I don't think it's a spoiler to say that the impression I got from it is that he never had a unique idea of his own, and also he wasn't a very good businessman. Incredibly successful, but I'm thinking over all the episodes. Now, this is a representation of the man. I don't recall him making one solid good
decision.
Well,
the original decision was his decision.
But was it he?
Yes, it was him that, well, according to
yes, of course.
He did come up with the original decision, and I will totally give him that, but I don't disagree with you.
He took it from Gay Bar, didn't he? That's right.
I don't disagree with you about his natural business ability. I think he probably did have, as in he was a smart guy, and you know what I mean? He'd saved his money and he had done this and he knew there was space for it. But then I think he was way too open and trusting because he just had this picture in his head of who he wanted to become. Yeah. And he didn't really know how to get there. So when people came into his life that in any way seemed to be able to help him, I mean, at one point he's handing out percentages that you're like, I'm sorry, has he sat down and actually added up how much he's giving away of this? You know, and when you're in, and maybe I'm being wrong, but if you were to mention to me like nightclubs back in that time in America, from my TV watching alone, you would assume it's kind of a shady business.
Yeah,
you know, the sure, way, yeah. As in like you think about any of the TV you watch, there was a lot of shady stuff going on. And he kind of got caught in that.
Also too, I was watching it thinking, thank God I don't really have anything, you know, because the more success you seem to accumulate, the more money you seem to accumulate. Not for everyone, of course, but in a lot of these types of stories,
yeah,
nothing was ever enough for him. You know, it was ego. There was jealousy. I mean, he a lot of what happened that was driven by he just wanted more. He could not be content or satisfied with what he had. Now, obviously, he'd made some silly decisions and that was eating away at him. But he went from a normal person into someone whose life was effectively destroyed by money and success, or at least the seeking to attain that.
Yeah, I think that's it. But I think as well, one of the things that that I felt in it as well is that, you know, there's kind of like that tone of underlying racism as well. You know, yeah. You have this Indian guy, he's over there, and I'm saying Indian, I'm not even 100% sure.
I was saying Indian, yeah.
But he's over there, he started this thing, he spoke differently, you know, he had an accent, as one would call it. Now, obviously, I totally assume that they've exaggerated it in this show because they tend to do that based on the Pam and Tommy kind of thing. But he did seem to speak with an accent, that kind of thing. And I think maybe that was also part of it. When you saw him in the shop and that kind of thing, when he started off working in the petrol station, you could kind of get the feeling that that was what was going on.
But he himself should have known better. And the story also relates the fact that he wasn't afraid to racial profile people in the interests of making money. And he got caught up
in the American dream.
Exactly. And it turned into the American nightmare.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's a good show. It's not too long. The episodes aren't too long. And I think lots of people who like lots of different shows will enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of a good show. Well,
I agree, because I think there's bits of it in it that you're like going, God, as I said, I don't think many people know this story because, well, maybe I'm wrong, but I pride myself on knowing a lot of scandal.
About the Chippendales.
But Hollywood and, you know, sort
I know
of
what you mean,
that
yeah.
sort of California
I
scandal.
I didn't know about
that, and I can't believe that I didn't know any of these details whatsoever.
So
that
I haven't seen the Chippendales. For those who aren't familiar with it, the Chippendales are a male strip troupe. But they were part of popular culture over here. I do remember pull-outs in newspapers and stuff, and I remember the collars. You'd see it in the tabloids. You know, I do remember.
Yeah, the collars and cuffs.
So we probably should have learned of the dodgy dealings in the background.
And not only that, but they're in the zeitgeist. I would say that 90% of people in this country did know the story of the Chippendales, but I would say 99% of the people in this country, if you say the word Chippendale, does not automatically think of furniture in, you know, 17th century, whatever century England. They automatically think
more chance of going to see the Chippendales though than owning a Chippendale piece of furniture.
But you know, I just think that would be where people's minds go, you know, directly to the troops. So it's just amazing to me that such a big, wrongly, because obviously people's lives are right, but a big juicy story like this was in the background and that we didn't know anything about it.
And Salman Banjari, Steve Banjari's son now, is a 33-year-old stripper with his own stripping troupe called Strippendales. So what will you give it out of 10? It's on Disney Plus. And presumably
yeah, I have to say, I'm really liking it. I would definitely give it a solid 8.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in it. It's kind of a bit gritty. There's, which is, again, the Pam and Tommy thing that kind of felt a little bit ugh sometimes watching it.
Yeah,
but it's definitely worth sitting down and watching it. As you say, it'll appeal to a lot of different people because there's people that'll just go for the actual story. There's people that'll go for the kind of gossipy bit of it because... As with Pam and Tommy, you kind of forget some of the cultural stuff that was happening in around that time as well and how this impacted that. So there's lots of different kind of areas with it that's not just about sitting there, you know.
Okay, I'm going to go 7.5 just because there's other stuff I've given that's slightly better at 8. Recommend the playlist on Netflix, says a listener. It's a series based on Spotify, a Scandinavian program about a coder that's a real whiz kid who, with a partner, starts the streaming service. So interesting, loved it. Something very different, very good drama. I would like that because I love The Social Network, so I imagine I would like that too. Watch the first 3 episodes of The Rig, still undecided if I'll be going back to it, even with some of the big names in it. Okay, we're going to be getting Michael's views on that very shortly. And anything else you've been watching, let us know what you thought of Welcome to the Chippendales, 086 60 25,000, if indeed you did watch it or if you plan to watch it, or indeed The Rig or any of the other shows or whatever you're watching. A lot of people, majority of people, back watching Dancing on Ice. Do you know what I mean? That's an interesting enough show.
I used to love that.
It's, I watched that.
I was doing that today on the way walking up here.
I hope you did a lift
with not quite as much grace as we might see on a Sunday.
Maybe not quite.
Legs akimbo.
I just always said...
Although there was a bit of controversy about one of the outfits one of the girls was wearing on it. I didn't think... Apparently hundreds of people...
thought it was too skimpy.
One of the girls out of Love Island, yeah. But, I mean, she's wearing...
Gosh, what episode is this last Sunday?
The first episode.
Is it on the player?
When they're all on the player. But they're always wearing kind of skimpy stuff.
I haven't seen enough of it to... I haven't seen enough of it to...
But you watch, but if you ever watch the skating, anyways, in the Olympics or any of that kind of stuff, which I have to say is so worth watching, they're always wearing kind of like swathes of it because
The gymnastics floor. I mean, well,
because in between the spots where you think you're seeing skin, you're not seeing skin.
Yeah,
it's
exactly,
actually.
Yeah.
Flesh coloured material.
That's all it was. There's not a pick
Same
of her.
Me.
There wasn't a pick of her skin on show. It was all, and it wasn't even flesh. Actually, it was darker than that. So it's very clear she was clothed.
Yeah, it's just normally that's what it is. It's like kind of a dark brown.
I think people also, and when you see who's voted off first on shows, often if a woman's good looking, is that controversial? She seems to not hang around very long. I don't know why that is.
It's because most people that vote are young girls.
But why would you vote a good-looking girl off if you're a young girl?
Well, because I think that's just the thing. Your vote tends to go towards the men, towards the boys, or whoever is... Like, so there's bound to be two or three lads from Hollyoaks, or there's somebody from... You know, there's a couple of young guys from different things in it, and that's usually... You find that with any of that, Love Island, any of those things.
I just can't believe that hundreds of people sat there on Sunday night, go, I'll tell you one thing, I don't like what she's wearing. Get me an email address. That's kind of a Yorkshire accent, I think.
A bit Yorkshire.
I don't think it's
glad you told me what it was.
But you know, I'm sending a strongly worded email.
It's definitely not, you're definitely trying to do Northern England there.
Right, okay. Come here. Let's take a break. We'll come back with The Rig from sorry, Michael. I'm going to do the courtesy. Have you watched Welcome to the Chippendales, and are you likely to watch?
Not likely at all. Doesn't interest me, and I'm watching about 20-25 shows a week at the moment. I'd have to stop watching a show I'm like.
Enjoying watching television.
I'm loving it.
No, it's a schedule. It's too much to work.
But I get it's just easy.
What happens? I just lose interest in something and stop watching it. I couldn't keep track.
No, I like the routine of knowing that tonight I'll watch an episode of Cardinal, and tonight I'll watch an episode of Fargo, and they're great. And last night was Slow Horses, and The Bear is the best thing on TV right now. I say it, I raved about it a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. That's the half-hour Canadian thing, is it?
It's incredible. No, it's not Canadian.
Chef.
It's about a chef.
Oh, the chef thing, yes, okay.
And it's stunning.
Anyone else out watching The Bear? 0866 60 25,000. Now, just to let you know that... John Breslin's broadcasting live from the Regional Cultural Centre in Letterkenny as part of the Trad Week, so stay tuned for that. It's going to be a really entertaining show. And just before the break, could you please wish my great friend and neighbour, Mary McMenamin from Glencovert Ballybuffet, a very happy 100th birthday for today. Well done, Mary, and hope you have a great day from Kathleen Doherty Carn Ballybuffet. And may I say, Mary, on behalf of all of us here at Highland Radio and all of our listeners, a very, very happy 100th birthday to you. Okay, welcome back to the programme. More from Michael and Fionnuala anon, but first we say hello to Louise Conaghan. Good morning, Louise. How are you getting on?
I'm good, Greg. How are you doing?
Good. It's great to have you on the programme. Right, tonight, January 20th, 8pm, you are in Jimmy's Winning Matches. Is this the first show or the second week of shows? This is the first show, is it?
Tonight will be the second show. We had a show last night, but it was kind of a sparse audience due to the weather.
Yeah, well, fair play to you for going on, because actually there would have been a really strong argument for not. So you're going to have even more demand then over the next two nights. Tonight at 8pm, tomorrow night, Saturday the 21st at 8pm, and hopefully things will be certainly much safer for tomorrow, and I imagine much more safer for this evening in terms of getting out on the road. So tell us the story that you... is it you on your own on stage, Louise, or is there...
Yeah, no, it's me, my own. It's a one-woman show, and it's called Jimmy's Winning Matches. So, as you can imagine, it's about Donegal football. And it starts off on Hill 16, and then we capture that moment, you know, that great moment in 2012 where Lacey gets the ball and passes it across to Murphy, and Murphy gets the goal. So the whole story of the play is based, the whole world of the play is based in between those two points. So it's really kind of like a snapshot in time, and it kind of it's looking at that, and it goes back over the character's life and various points in her life in between the 1992 and 2012.
Yeah, and that's a mixed bag of memories.
Yeah, very much so, mixed bag. So it goes through this the character's lifetime, and it deals with grief. It deals with lots of different things there. I compare it to when you tune into Highland Radio in the morning there, and you can hear all the different stories of things that are going on in Donegal at any one time. And it goes through her life, and it's a very... it's one of those things that deals with a lot of issues. And if you ask somebody to write a play about cancer bus, about Donegal football, about female football, about the female story in Donegal, about the roads and everything else, so you would look at them and go, absolutely not, there's no way. But this play really, really encapsulates all that.
So this is like a moment in time almost where your life flashes before your eyes. It could have been done in a number of different scenarios. Why choose the football? Why choose this moment to sort of frame this story, or to set this story within?
Well, you'll have to talk to Kieran Kelly about that, because he's a wonderful scriptwriter.
Have you not asked him? Have you not cared?
Kieran can always put things a lot better than I can. I can recite his words, I suppose for Kieran, it was the relationship that he had with football and the relationship it had with his own life. For me, growing up, I was somebody who attended the matches, and it might not necessarily have been for the football, but it was a very social event, and it was a beautiful community thing. And I think Donegal football, I think this country, this county, is very passionate about sport. And I think it's a great... The GAA is a massive contributor in terms of community.
And I think, too, the football is a good way to timeline the character's life as well, isn't it? Because I think we can all probably remember, whichever team we support, where we were through the happiness and through the heartbreak, be it at club level or at county level, or at junior level, or whatever it means. It's a little bit like music and smell, isn't it? It's GEA is so sort of intertwined with our lives. It's really quite a nice way of timelining someone's life experiences.
Yeah, and it shows all the highs and lows, and it actually comes in at 70 minutes, which is a happy coincidence, but it comes
no
in
extra time.
Yeah, hope not.
All right,
maybe the audience gets involved.
And I don't think the ref blows the whistle early anymore now, like they might have in the past. And Louise, from your perspective as an actor, I don't know if you've done a one-woman act before. I suppose maybe you don't have to rely on anyone else, so there's comfort in that, but also too, all eyes are on you as well. So I imagine there's a range of emotions there when taking on a role like this.
Yes. Well, Greg, I had been a theatre actor for years. And then just before COVID, I don't know if anybody remembers, Manny Mann does the History of Ireland on stage. So myself and John Ruddy were in that, and that was a two-hander. And it was a fantastic piece. But it was very text-heavy in that. But I started kind of having a few difficulties with learning lines and things like that. So I really lost confidence, and I had stopped doing theatre shows nearly altogether, except for pieces that I wrote myself. Because there's something very handy about when you write a show yourself. If you go wrong... you can redirect.
But, you know, I can feel you. Like, I'm so happy sitting in this environment where I've got control over everything, right? But if I were to try and present this show with somebody else pushing the buttons and what have you, I would actually, it would cause great anxiety. I might as well just put that word, because that's exactly what it would be. But in this situation, I feel like I have that sort of control. Is that sort of in the same space with you, that maybe because they were your words that you had...
Yeah, well, there was that. But as well as that, I do a lot of street theatre, so I'm not really dependent on other people. So theatre is a very, very collaborative expression. You know, there's so much. You've got the lighting tech, you've got stage manager, you know, you've got Niall and Jude in there. The team in Ingrainan are absolutely fantastic. And a theatre show, if it's a one-woman show, never, ever be fooled by that, because there is a massive team behind you.
Yeah.
You know, down to the neighbours that dig you out in the morning to get you on the road. You know, there's loads of people behind it. So it's never a one-woman show. Yet whenever you're up there, you're on your own, but you're not really, because you've got the lights and the sound. And
well, if it goes really well, I would say, yes, it's a one-man show. And if it tanks, I'd go, well, hey, there's a whole team here. I'm on it. But the one thing, you don't have to worry about that second scenario, because I've heard great things about it already. We're going to hear more from Michael now. The show's on tonight at 8 p.m. It's on tomorrow night at 8 p.m. again. Tickets, €18. Presented by Ingrainan Theatre Productions. Louise Cunahan is on stage. You heard Kieran Kelly, the writer reference there, and Patrick McBurty. I presume it's not the footballer. Is the director.
Okay.
So I was just going to say that.
He's top of his game as director. As well.
Captain in the team, directing you. I mean, his hands would be full. But listen, this is the type of thing to... Do you hope to tour with this?
Well, there's always a hope. Whenever you start out with everything, you're always thinking, America. No.
New York!
No, you always hope that something will go further.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you do this in Mayo, do you think the intention would be, if you spitballed it, that you would sort of do it as a Mayo fan? Or if you were in New York, would it be the New York Gales? Or will this always be Jimmy's winning matches? Because if it were in Mayo, we'd have a slight problem there. It would be Mayo not winning finals. But anyway...
About this story is, yes, it's called Jimmy's Winning Matches, and yes, it's got a Donegal football jersey in the front of it and all, but this is about a story about Donegal, and it's a very human story. You know, it's talking about a father-daughter relationship. You know, you're talking about grief. It's a universal story, and yes, it does have Donegal written all over it, but it's not just that, you know. But the thing about it is, it's a love letter to Donegal and to Donegal GAA.
And I try and avoid sort of giving too much away, but I gather that people who've lived a life, this will be relatable to the emotions and the heartaches and your successes and all of that. It's relatable, and that's how good theatre works, isn't it? Louise, listen, best of luck with it tonight and tomorrow night. Get your tickets by calling the box office at Ingrainan. It's been lovely having you on the programme. Thank you so very much indeed.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Bye-bye. See you, Louise. That's Louise Cunahan there. Did you get along to see it last night, or are you still previewing it for us? Okay.
See it, yeah. Loved it. Loved it. Louise is amazing on stage. Anyone who saw her in Manny Man, she's electric, she's magnetic, she's perfect for a one-woman show. She morphs effortlessly from one character to the next. Loved it. There's some nice technical stuff as well. There's some nice... I won't spoil it, but there's also a technical aspect to the show that's very slick. We're downstairs chatting with one of the lads in the group about that. We were saying, like, if it's that slick on the first night, like, how slick is it going to be on the second and third night? It was very good. For me, when I watch a TV show, when I read a comic book, when I see a film, I want a story, story, story. There's a really strong story at the core of this. It's about that woman. Doesn't matter if you are very knowledgeable on the GAA over those 20 years, 92 to 2012, or not. there's still a strong story there. Obviously, if you are invested and you know, you get all the signposts, but it tells the story of this woman. You leave the theatre almost feeling like she's somebody you know. It's like, I know her. I remember that one. Her dad.
Yeah, but she brings that. You can surreal, I kind of get that sense from her out of character. Yeah, so I think that's.
Oh, Louise, she sells it. You need Louise. Yeah. You need a very strong actress to sell this script and to make it work. And Louise is the perfect person for that. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Anyone who's going along tonight, tomorrow night, thoroughly recommend it, and you'll definitely enjoy it. You'll definitely enjoy it.
70 minutes is just a nice amount of time, isn't it? It's a just huge commitment.
Yeah.
You can go out for a bevy or two afterwards, even, or something to eat.
Yes.
Did you go along last night?
It's too cold.
I know.
Listen, do you know what?
I'm terrible.
This is what I always try to be as honest as I can be. And that is just a perfectly honest answer.
Of course, completely.
Sorry, Michael, it's just too cold.
I know.
And
do you know
that was what? That was the message. That was the message.
Exactly.
That's literally the message.
You know what? And people really appreciate frankness.
I agree. 100%.
Just tell me it's too cold.
I was at home, heat on, hot water bottle, watching TV. I was like, I can't do it.
I'm a cold critter myself.
And I went through the whole show and nobody leaned in at any stage to whisper. Sort of irrelevant.
Whisper?
You know, well, yeah. Nobody commented.
Does Fionnuala have a whisper in her armory?
Nobody said something like, you know,
if I were whispering. Yeah.
She's too old to be married to him. She's too old to be married to him. Or she wouldn't wear that dress during a curfew. Just Casablanca comment.
Oh, I know.
There's always one comment.
So, Michael, highly recommending.
There's an awful lot of sex in Casablanca, implied sex, considering the time frame that movie is set in.
I think they had sex back in the 1940s.
No and way. Also, on that subject, no there's nothing really in your face, either literally or metaphorically, with Meet the Chippendales, but I wouldn't watch it with Fionnuala's granny either.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Just to say, I meant to say that a little earlier on.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Well, I think it's an 18 plus, but you don't really see anything. But I think it is for that.
When you mentioned like those pullouts in the newspaper, that mind boggles. Like I'm just like it's not for me.
You are in a weird mood.
Not for me.
Everything is.
Not for me.
I don't know. I'm worried.
I know. In fairness, the cold impacts him way different than it does me.
And most people. Okay, keep your texts and calls coming into us. 086 60 25,000. 086 60 25,000. Right. We binge watched The Traitors UK over three evenings this week. Thought it was fabulous. Is that the BBC show?
It is. I'm so jealous they've got the player.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't get to see
it
at all.
Where did you watch it?
I know. Where did they watch it? Ask them that if they watched it.
086 60 25,000.
If they watched
that's
it,
that's how my mother used to speak if she didn't want anyone to understand her.
Like Pig Latin or something.
Hold that back. We can't afford that. Mom, everyone can hear you. You're not speaking a different language. And she also didn't. I keep going to Yorkshire accents every time. I don't know what the story is.
Matt, did you get a book of accents or a tip for Christmas?
Coronation Street.
Oh, okay.
Has the team seen The Pale Blue Eye on Netflix? I'd give it 8 out of 10. Vinnie McLaughlin in Manchester. Hiya, Vinnie. I watched the first 10 minutes of it. Thank you for reminding me. I want to go back and watch it. I like it. I like the setup of it. It is a young fella dies in... he's a part of the army. And this is going back to the 19th, 18th century. I have a clue. They have horse and carts, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And this character, whose name escapes me, I can't remember his name, it will come to me.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Is called in to investigate it and discovers that it wasn't an accident until death, or the person didn't kill himself.
It looked too scary for me.
Yeah,
is it scary?
I don't know. It wasn't scary as much as I'd seen, but it's the guy that played Batman is the lead character. Come on.
Christian Bale?
Christian Bale. And it looks really good, and it looks like it's going to be an interesting
story. It does look like it was really dark, so I was like,
this is a series?
Yeah, that's what put me off it.
Movie.
It's a movie, yeah. No, that's what put me off it was the horror, because I was like, I don't know.
That's not your bag. No, it's not.
No. Yeah, The Pale Blue Eye.
Hiya, Greg and team. Last week you mentioned The Patient and I had been watching it, but not totally into it. Decided to watch another episode, but when the therapist had the chance to get away but didn't, I thought, nah, going to end up like all the other victims. Should I watch the end now? Is there a happy outcome? Thanks, Greg. Always enjoy the chatter on a Friday. Well, firstly, I don't remember when he had the opportunity to escape. Secondly, the reason audiences... or don't like it is it's not necessarily a happy ending. Now you can look at it and say, right, I understand. The critics like it because I think they be a bit more dispassionate on it. It's not, everything's not, the story's tied up in a bow, but it's not necessarily the outcome that you might want. That doesn't give anything away because I don't know what you want. But watch it. I thought it was good, but it has mixed audience reviews. But I think it's worth finishing to the end, Vinny. Okay, very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. It's That's Entertainment with Michael and Fionnuala. And we are going to talk now about... And it's funny, isn't it, Fionnuala, that, you know, drama's almost now made in real time, isn't it? We're talking now about Vardy versus Rooney, but the case is barely closed and they've knocked down a drama off the back of it.
I couldn't believe it. I was... Because when at first it came up, I thought Channel 4 have started to do some kind of popular... documentaries, you know, like they've always done some good stuff in it, but they've done some popular documentaries. They've got a massive big thing about the Kardashians, which someday I'll watch it, but I just haven't got the energy or the time to put into it now. And it's kind of, you know, just how they built their empire, etc., etc. So it's very kind of, you know, on point, like as in what's going on in the world. But then I saw this, and what really attracted me to this is Michael Sheen was one of the producers, and he stars in it, and he's been deeply involved in it. So I'm kind of watching it just to try and figure out what was the attraction there. I mean, anybody who doesn't know the story, it is all about, it was in the papers all the way through. So you have Colleen Rooney and I'm going to say Rachel Vardy, but I could be wrong, there is her first name now that I think of it. But these are two...
Rebecca,
there you go. These are two wives of professional footballers in the UK, and they were supposedly friends following each other on their social media channels, and then all of a sudden then out what was for the public out of the blue, Colleen Rooney put down on her social media that she had figured out that somebody was using her private social media and selling stories to the press from it, and that she had done a whole big personal investigation herself where she had blocked people and then let them in and blocked all the things.
She posted a post, didn't she, that only Rebecca Vardy could see because she suspected it was her that was leaking her information
to
the press.
Well, she did it
now,
for
this
a few
things.
This
was stuff that was being published, actually... on a public platform, you know, which I don't get.
Oh, you know, I tell you, it's the whole way through this, and I keep thinking it's her private, that this was her private stuff.
Yeah, but it's still Instagram.
Well, I mean, and I'm sure her friends aren't numerous, and this Rebecca Vardy isn't really her friend anyways. They don't seem to have been friends prior to this, but it just seemed to be like all the wags. I, of course, you know, was around in the time when the wags first came to... realization, and you were kind of like watching them at the... Do you remember that one particular World Cup when Posh Spice was there and there was Lord Abby something or other was another guys. There was loads of them and they were all just dressed to the nines.
I don't
and
know
kind of
anything
running.
Except about the
names
wags.
Of wags. It's your specialised mastermind
subject. It's Crouch Abbey, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a load of them, but they all kind of came up and they went and they used to be a big thing. They probably still are now, apparently, the way things are going. But when Rooney did this anyways, she went and she put it out. No, she named and shamed then who she said was selling the stories.
It was Vardy or it was Rebecca, that
yeah,
famous
it
post.
Was Rebecca. So she sent it out that it was Rebecca. Of course, Rebecca Vardy went, oh my God, I can't have people saying this about me. And she took the case to court and sued her. It cost million. To be honest, that was the main thing that came out of it for me. This crap costs millions. Millions for these two women to really kind of have, and I apologise for the thing, but like a bitch fight with each other. Like it was just ridiculous. Like
they And phones go missing, evidence goes missing.
Phones go missing, evidence goes missing. One of the main witnesses was unable, which you know always works out well for me, was unable to attend due to the severe stress this had caused on her health and her mental health. But... fair play to her. She rallied 6 weeks after the court case ended and was able to do a load of interviews and let people know that she's writing her own book. So I love that strength. She really showed her own. She really came through with her strength.
We get to go on that journey with her.
Exactly. So this is, there's a lot of that kind of stuff in it. Do you know the ways in, you just wonder.
And because it's very fresh, because we were talking earlier on about the Chippendales and the reason that's enjoyable because you don't really know the story. A lot of people do know this story and I think people are interested in how it's told. So it can work both ways, can't it?
Yeah, look, it's very well acted. Michael Sheen plays one of the barristers in it. It's all kind of set in the court and it kind of goes back and forth then to their homes or their different things. It gives you sort of an insight into what was going on in the court when it goes on. If you're interested in this kind of thing, you're going to love this. If you like that kind of story and you are following it, you're absolutely going to love it. But it it just was, to me, meanwhile, their husbands are still playing against each other on different teams and stuff and have to be seen to be, you know, at least cordial when they're out and about. And it, and again, I stress, it cost millions.
Vardy's the one picked up the bill for that. Jamie, I think her husband's name is. The subject matter and the fact that it's real and the personalities and you know the ins and outs of it, but what would you actually give the production, the actual show? Let's say it was a fictional piece. What would you give, or if it were factual, which it is, what would you give it out of 10?
I think they did a good job of it. And as I said, if you were watching this, and because to be honest, occasionally you're watching it going, this can't possibly be real. Even though you know in your heart that it is. But if you were watching this as somebody had sitting down and written a drama, you go, oh, this isn't bad. I would definitely give it like a, you know, 6 or whatever.
And I presume it's on well the 4-player too.
It's on the 4. It is on the 4-player, which, and I have to say, I've always been one that was talking about how brilliant Channel 4 was because they had this all 4-player and you could get in and out of it and there's no charge.
Mm. What?
They are ruining it.
Why?
They have clumped so many ads into it now.
Oh, no. Right, okay.
Yeah, and it's so...
And in fairness, because they waited until it was successful.
They want you to subscribe to it. Wow. Because they want you to subscribe, and I'm like... Just
24 Hours in Police Custody is a great show on it as well. If you don't want to watch something that you have to commit too much to, there's a good amount of episodes on that.
They have a couple of good things that they have going for it. They have a couple of good shows that they've made themselves. And in fairness, if you like any of the... If you're somebody that likes a reality TV, they have reality TV about everything.
Do you think the likes of ITVX and Channel 4, and we don't have anything in here at the moment, so we have to look to that. I wonder what the subscriber numbers are like, because, you know, in terms of the quality of it, look, there'll be a couple of good dramas here or there, right? And you can catch up on bits and bobs. But, you know, when people are sort of looking at how much they're committing monthly to on-demand TV, I just wonder... Even with a population of, you know, 68 plus in England, I wonder, is there enough interest to support subscription for regular telly? Really, it's what it is.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Channel 4 now, because, like I said, it was an unbelievable... Like, you know, we were comparing it here 2 years ago to the RT player, which was buffering, which was still... You know, and you were saying, oh, God, why don't they just copy the Channel 4 model? Because the All 4... thing was so good. You could just click on anything that they had and it just came straight away, and they also have some of the movies that are on Film 4 and stuff like that in it. Now they've introduced all these ads. Now they're looking for you to subscribe to it. As you say, it was extremely popular. It'll be interesting to see whether they end up with a fall off or whether people transfer over.
I think there is an industry accepted shedding of traffic. In terms of those who will watch with ads, those who will pay a subscription to watch without ads, and then those that just go, stuff it, I'm going to get a fire sticker, I'm not going to bother watching it, or it's not worth it. So there is an expected shedding when you switch to the subscription model. But sure, we shall see. Right, The Rig is... actually quite a few people interested in The Rig.
Yep.
We're going to talk about that after the break. Is that all right, Michael?
Absolutely.
Have you watched it?
Yeah.
How much of it?
Halfway.
Halfway through...
Eight episodes.
Okay, back after these. The Rig is being heavily marketed by Amazon. Everywhere I look, it is there. People seem to enjoy the start of it, but if you look at the average audience score, most people don't like it.
Yep.
Even the critics probably don't see enough in it to go, oh yes, this is great. Mm-hmm. You're halfway through. It's on Amazon, by the way. You're halfway through. What say you?
Yeah, I've been following on social media, on Twitter, and it's 43% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, which isn't very good. Like, that's 2 out of 5 people liking it. That's not good. Critics are a bit better with 64%. Following it on Twitter, a lot of negative feedback, a lot of people unhappy with the ending. And socially as well, just friends of mine that have finished it are like, yeah, the ending is a bit of a letdown. I'm sticking with it. The person who messaged in earlier said they weren't too sure. I'm going to stick with it, but I'm not greatly enthused. I like it, but I'm prepared to be disappointed. I like the casting a lot. It's a Scottish production. It's an all Scottish production, and there's a bit of buzz around the fact that it's the first time that there's been something like that on the Amazon platform. So it's great for local Scottish productions that they've got this thing together. It's got a stellar cast, Ian Glen, Owen Teal, people you will recognise from stuff like Game of Thrones and other BBC / ITV productions.
It's a small pool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Producers seem to trust.
Yes, and they're all very, very good. The story is very straightforward, and it might have worked better as a feature film. It's one of those mini 6-hour miniseries that probably worked better.
The Rig is about 3 episodes too long, says Sen in St Johnston. Yeah, thanks, Sen.
Completely agree. So basically, it's an oil rig. It's out in the middle of nowhere, as you can imagine. They get cut off.
You wouldn't want an oil rig in the middle of Glasgow.
You wouldn't, now, you wouldn't. So a fog or smoke.
What's
or
that, Luda, in Glasgow?
Not a lot of Yorkshire people living in Glasgow.
There's a lot of Yorkshire people in this Scottish production. So a cloud comes in. It's like a mixture of fog and it's like ash cuts them off. There's like... they can get no communication out on radio. Helicopters can't fly. Cool. They're completely cut
off.
Good
way to isolate them.
They're completely cut off. And supernatural things start to happen. So a guy is injured in the first episode, that badly injured. He's in critical condition, but he mysteriously starts to heal. He sits up, starts walking around, starts prophesizing that a big wave is coming. Mm. And he's actually physically changing. Something's happening. We find out what's happening at the end of episode 2. And it's generally... My problem with the early issues, episodes, is that at the end of, say, episode 2, the characters are no further forward than they were at the end of episode 1. Mm. At the end of... like, it's
so
a lot
pacing,
of,
then? Is
it's that, a lot is of it? People walking around the oil rig saying... what the heck's going on? Mm. I wonder what's happening for an hour.
Yeah.
It looks well visually. You know, it looks
sounds
good.
Like a brilliant premise. It it's sounds a great like premise, the setup is like, wow, okay.
Yeah. You wanna like it. But, I want to like it. And I like Ian Glen a lot. He also did the Jack Taylor Private Eye Detective Galway based show. He's a great actor. They're all fantastic actors. I love Owen Teal, and he's sort of the toxic member of the crew. He's the one who is shouting at the bosses about get us all off here, you know, you should be working to get us all off here. He gets some great scenes. They all get some great scenes. But as I talked when I was talking about Jimmy's winning matches, how much I love story, I feel like in each individual episode of The Rig there's not a huge amount of story, like nothing. So I sit down and I watch it, but by the end of it I'm like, well, we're no further forward.
This sounds very familiar to the review of that show where those people running up and down corridors or something.
Oh, Crossfire.
Yeah,
Crossfire.
Sounds similar.
Crossfire was... because
and the one about the submarine.
Yeah.
Do you remember they were saying?
Oh, Vigil was great. Vigil was fantastic.
So, have you seen any of this?
No, it screams everything. Fanula does not want
to be involved.
Supernatural, not interested.
It's out in the North Sea.
Out in the North Sea, not interested. Dark. I might know about visually dark. I just find that a pain in the bum.
Like, even when they're in the club area where they're all kind of chilling, supposedly, because it's all glass windows, you can see the ominous smoke, and you're watching it to see is there something flitting by. Fanula would hate that. Fanula would hate.
No,
but it doesn't pay off much. I mean, I'll stick with it because of the cast. But I'm prepared based on everything I've seen on Twitter and those people that have commented in there about sticking with it. You know, somebody messaged earlier, should they stick with it? I haven't seen the ending, so I can't speak authoritatively, but I would still, I don't know, I'm stubborn. It's very, I mean, I watched The Midnight Club all the way to the end and that was atrocious. Not quite as bad as Crossfire. I did on my blog.
Look at the time. Right, okay. Yeah. We're fine for time yet. So we can't ask you for marks out of 10 yet.
Well, no, I can give it like a 6 or 7 at the halfway stage, but I'm aware of the fact that people universally seem disappointed by the ending.
Well, universally, definitely those who've contacted us.
Yeah, and on Twitter as well. Twitter, I mean, I see, I go down, I don't care about spoilers. But, you know, a lot of people,
You know, you're not going to go. What are you not going to go on Twitter to say something good, are you?
There is a percentage that will say good things, but you're right. It's overwhelmingly negative. But it's
Traitors US starts on the BBC on the 25th of January. This is from Kevin, set in the same castle with ex-Bond villain and Scotchman Alan Cumming. He also says he watched a few episodes of The Rig. Looks promising, similar to John Carpenter's The Fog, with an impressive cast.
That was so scary.
But too cold to watch The Chippendales. Reminds me to get a few clothes to clean the windows. Right. Okay, put them on. No, don't use them as Don't use them as rags. All right. Sinead, anyone watch Red Notice? I watched that, I think. I think I enjoyed that. Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. Very disappointing, not reflective of her life. I think a few people thought there was problems with that as well because Bobby Brown's still alive and maybe they couldn't cover it in a way that they might.
Okay,
that is... Fionnuala, thank you so very much.
You're very welcome.
Great to have you in as always, Michael.
Thank you.
Great to be here. For walking up in the snow and ice like a ballerina.
Dance moves.
We really appreciate you listening to the show, watching the show, getting involved in the programme. We're back on Monday. We'll follow up, by the way, with all your views and comments following our interview with the Minister McConnell Logan, that and so much more besides. Have a great weekend. Stay tuned. John Bresson is out and about around the Northwest after the news at 12.